T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Listen to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy that you're here on this Thursday morning. A little chilly out there, but it should warm up nicely today for you. So you have a good Thursday heading into your rainy Friday. Not going to be a good day tomorrow. So whatever you're planning to do outdoor, you're going to want to get her done today. Coming up, we got Nick Schroer, state senator, at the bottom of the hour. I wanted to ask him more about this decision yesterday. The local media is having a ball with it. Then that is the Missouri bill to kick Planned Parenthood off Medicaid is now on its way to the governor's desk. Nick has been introducing and pushing for this legislation since 2021, I believe.
And it took this long to pass it?
Well, bear in mind, the Dobbs decisions happened since then.
That's
so
true.
We've had the restrictions on abortion in the state take effect since then as well. And this has, I don't know what all the implications are. I'm sure it would be challenged in court by someone probably sooner rather than later. But we'll get to Nick on what all is involved with that for you here about 7:35. Next hour, Michelle Exner is going to join us. We've mentioned the Title IX changes done administratively by the Biden administration, as they do so many things behind the scenes without congressional approval to try to change the legislative intent of Title IX, which was designed to protect your girls. And now it's hurting your girls. And we will talk about all the implications from that. She is with Parents Defending Education, and she's been looking at this case. We got Griff Jenkins coming up. Our friend Bo Matthews is going to join us about 8:45. Of course, he joins me every week on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, which airs here Saturdays and Sundays on the radio station. Carl Middleman, thank you.
Pew, pew.
Who produces that for us as well. And we're going to talk more about a fundraiser Bo's got coming up, helping first responders. And who doesn't love doing that? So we'll get to Bo at about 8:45 this morning with how you can help out. First, though, before we get to Senator Jim Talent in just a few minutes, I want to get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
They tried to do that in Miami, and what happened? In 10 minutes, they got dragged off the road where they belonged, and we're not going to tolerate that.
No, we're not. Ron DeSantis says, hey, you can protest all you want, but if you're down here protesting on the part of terrorists, we're going to stop you.
Think about the guys you grew up with, you like to get into the corner and just give them a straight left. I'm not suggesting we hit the president.
Sure sounds to me like he's suggesting we hit the president. I don't know what else you'd be suggesting if you talk about punching somebody in the face.
Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
Oh.
Yeah, they have no idea what the hell they're talking about, quite frankly. They just don't. Those are protesters outside of New York University yesterday protesting, they think, on behalf of Palestine, but really Hamas.
Arizona's election was free and fair. The people of Arizona elected President Biden.
That is the Attorney General down in Arizona yesterday making some headlines, and haven't talked a lot about this case yet this morning, but I did want to hit the highlights on it because it's such a slap in the face. Remember the look on Chris Rock's face when Will Smith came up and smacked him? Like, he didn't see that coming. The American people have seen this coming because they've already seen examples of it with the Smith case against Trump in Washington, D.C., the Alvin Bragg case in New York, the Letitia James case in New York, what's going on with Phony Willis down in Georgia. The American people have seen it already. Cases that would not have been brought other than the fact that Donald Trump is running for election. In other words, if these were crimes that were committed in November of 2020, why has it taken until 2024 for them to be charged? American people can see that. It's not fair. It's one-sided prosecution. There's no doubt about it. There's no way to argue it otherwise. It didn't take that long to bring these to trial. If a crime was committed, it should have been charged right after it happened, not 4 years later, right before the person that you hate is running for elected office. That's obvious. The attorney general in Arizona is a Democrat. She hates Donald Trump. And she has talked a grand jury in Arizona into indicting Rudy Giuliani, among others, and Mark Meadows, among others, President Trump's former chief of staff, for trying to put together a board of electors, an alternate board of electors in the state of Arizona. Because there was belief, continues to be believed by many of us, that votes were counted that shouldn't have been counted in Arizona, and that votes were not cast that should have been cast because of problems with the election cycle in Arizona. Again, a razor-thin margin in the state of Arizona. So at the time, with all those questions up in the air, still not resolved in many cases, people legitimately thought that there was a problem with the outcome of the election and that those electors should have gone to Donald Trump. So a Trump slate of electors was put together. Somehow, this lady wants you to believe that is the end of democracy, and they're going to prosecute the people who were standing by in case the Arizona election results got overturned. Listen to her.
Unwilling to accept this fact, the defendants charged by the state grand jury allegedly schemed to prevent the lawful transfer of the presidency. Whatever their reasoning was, the plot to violate the law must be answered for, and I was elected to uphold the law of this state. The scheme, had it succeeded, would have deprived Arizona's voters of their right to have their votes counted for their chosen president.
Yeah, the scheme was the belief that Arizona's vote was not correct, that the outcome of it was not correct. You're allowed to have that opinion in America. There wasn't an attempt to overturn a free and fair election. That's what she wants you to believe. It took her years to convince a grand jury to charge, and she conveniently does it months before the next election cycle. Here she is again.
Let me start by thanking everyone for your patience as we conducted a thorough and professional investigation over the past 13 months into the fake elector scheme in our state. I understand for some of you today didn't come fast enough, and I know I'll be criticized by others for conducting this investigation at all. But as I have stated before and will say here again today, I will not allow American democracy to be undermined. It's too important. The investigators and attorneys assigned to this case took the necessary time to thoroughly piece together the details of the events that began nearly 4 years ago.
So what year is it, Kim? 2024?
Oddly
enough, the partisan Democrat attorney general in Arizona only got elected in 2022 and spent the preceding 13 or 14 months immediately investigating what happened in 2020 to now announce charges 4 months before a general election.
Yeah, I mean, we all know the timing was very intentional for all of this.
I know. It's just so people are sick of this political persecution of your political opponents. That's exactly what it is. And we got to get to a break here. I got Jim Talent coming up. I want to ask him more about his thoughts on this immunity case for sure. The arguments will be held today in the Supreme Court on that. Jim Talent, right after the break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Really that high at this moment that the New York courts will do the right thing, that the jury will do the right thing. We're in a blue state, as you know, Greg, and I think everything's by design. We're in a case that was 8 years old, over the statute of limitations, was denied by Cy Vance, then brought only after President Trump decided he was going to run for office. And like you said, look at how many people they've got. And I can't talk about it, but the America, because of the unconstitutional gag order. But I think that we should also take a look at who's on that team and where that those people came from. It's very troubling, as you know, and I know you know it well. And we're in the fight of our lives at this moment.
Former Senator Jim Talent joining us here as he always does on a Thursday morning. Jim, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark and Kim.
That was Alina Haba. She's one of the president's attorneys up in the court case currently going on in New York. And she said we're in for the fight of our lives. That would go for the Supreme Court today, too. I was anxious to get your thoughts on the immunity hearing. And specifically, as I think about this, this is not an all or nothing decision by the Supreme Court, right? Can't the Supreme Court rule that to a great extent, the president must have a great deal of immunity? I mean, we're not talking about him going out on the front lawn and murdering someone and getting away with it, but they have to have a degree of immunity, right?
Yeah, I think the court is going to say at least that. And here's the issue. Okay, so there are a lot of circumstances where presidents make judgments that after they leave office, a hyper-partisan prosecutor in a jurisdiction without, as an effective matter, an independent judiciary could go after the president, could try and criminalize it. And that would therefore circumscribe your judgment when you're in office. So I think the court will, at minimum, carve out a set of decisions where the president has immunity from what he does. Now, the safety valve for this is if he's impeached for it. So, for example, the example you gave, you know, he shoots a paramour in the White House. Well, he's going to be impeached. And then the impeachment would clear the way for a prosecution. So he has the protections intended by the framers, which reside in the impeachment clause. Okay. And I think the court is likely to go in that direction. Now, what specifically they will say, I doubt they're going to say absolute immunity. I think they're probably going to say immunity under these circumstances and then set some standards.
Yeah. And then it has to go back to a lower court, right? Is that what effectively would happen?
Right.
So,
right.
So I mean,
they'll remand it back for the lower court's judgment based on the standards the Supreme Court set. That's my guess. Look, court watching, I mean, you know, I'm not an expert, and the experts don't know either. But yeah. that's my guess.
But I guess my question is then the decision they make, whether it's next week or at the end of the session in June, doesn't necessarily answer the question as to whether or not Jack Smith can go ahead with this case quickly, right? I mean, it's still got to go back to another court.
There would have to be a remand.
Yes.
And a remand, that means sending it back to the lower court for a judgment based on the rules the Supreme Court has set out. Okay. And so, yeah, that will delay it, which is, I think, in this context, a good thing, because I'm hopeful that President Trump will win and then all this will go away. And let me add a couple of things, okay, if I can. Number one is if you're going to prosecute somebody in a context like this, it needs to be for an offense which you can state in 15 seconds, and the average person says, yeah, I get that. I understand it. Like bribery. You know what I mean? Something where, yeah, well, if he did that, right?
Right.
Because of the tremendously negative political overtones and consequences for the system. And the second is what's going on in New York now in this state court prosecution points out the importance of a robust, independent judiciary in a democracy. Because if you don't have that, you can't enforce the rights that you do have against the state. That's the only way you can enforce them, is you end up in a court and you get an independent judge who looks at it and says, no, you can't do that. And we don't have that in New York. And so we get this absolute kangaroo court, which is doing, I don't think it's doing damage to President Trump's election prospects, but it's doing damage to the underlying constitutional structure.
Yeah.
Real quickly, we have like a minute left. I wanted to get your opinion about House Speaker Johnson calling on the Columbia University president to resign in light of all these protests. How do you see this playing out?
Yeah, I think some resignations are in order, but there's a much deeper problem there, Kim, obviously. I mean, these students are motivated by, as far as I can tell, ignorance and arrogance, which is a pretty dangerous consequence. You know, you don't know, or combination, you don't know anything, and because you're arrogant, you never learn anything. And this is the result of years and years and years of putting these students in a bubble and subjecting them to what amounts to indoctrination. And in some cases, in some of the silliest things that you could possibly imagine. That's the only thing that produced this on the part of these students. Mm-hmm. And so we need a much deeper cleansing of these institutions. Chris Rufo is right.
Yeah,
I mean, he's just right.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Jim, thank you as always. Appreciate your insight on that.
It's always fun. Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon. Former Senator Jim Talent. Big goings-on up there in the Supreme Court today. I really think they're going to address this immunity issue and say the president has to have some immunity. It has to have a great deal of immunity unless it's a case like Jim described there. Absolutely. Coming up, Nick Schroer on the decision to strip Planned Parenthood funding out of Medicaid.
It's been a Republican priority that we've heard about for years, denying abortion providers and their affiliates from receiving Medicaid reimbursements. Courts in the past have blocked attempts from the General Assembly to try to defund Planned Parenthood. But
yep, that's Channel 2 reporting yesterday on this. And the reason that there have been attempts to do this for years is because Nick Schroer keeps bringing it up. And we've got the senator on the phone this morning. Nick, how are you?
I'm great now that we've finally gotten that thing accomplished.
Wow. And you expect the governor to sign it, right?
Absolutely. You know, I've been talking to the governor's administration ever since I was up there about, you know, in the House since 2017 and now in the Senate since 2023 about these types of bills. And, you know, you go back to 2019 when we did the heartbeat bill and no one said that we could actually accomplish this thing. This massive pro-life movement, he signed that. He was hand-in-hand working with us to make sure that that got done. In 2021, that was the first attempt that I filed this bill back in the House, and that was the first time we kind of separated that from the budget process. I know going back, many pro-lifers before my time defunded Planned Parenthood through the budget. Missouri Supreme Court came in and said, well, you can't do policymaking through the budget, so this is unlawful. So we picked it up and looked at the attempts that were done in Arkansas and Texas, where the federal courts have actually said, yeah, this is legal for a variety of reasons. And finally, we're getting it to the governor's desk.
You know, you read like STL Today, KMOV, and all of them are saying, well, you know, Missouri Planned Parenthood, they can't even do abortion. So they didn't even, you know, use the Medicaid funding for that. So why was it even necessary for lawmakers to do this? What would you say to those people? What would you like to do to respond?
Well, you know, the same response that I've had that they failed to report on that I've said in committees, and I've actually uncovered some evidence in committees that they failed to report on as well, which, you know, all of these prohibitions on monies going to abortions, this is something that Democrats have campaigned on. Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, many of them have tried to actually repeal those attempts that have prevented monies actually going to abortions. But what is happening is money is going to facilities, and Planned Parenthood announced, I think it was 2 years ago, where they announced in a Missouri hearing that all of their affiliates are kind of owned by a conglomerate, and they're, you know, sending patients across state lines, like we saw in the recent Project Veritas video on the Kansas City side of the state, sending them to Kansas, sending minors to Kansas without even informing their parents, which is in breach of our own state law. So, they're sending patients across state line. They're sending their money across state line, which actually is going to abortions.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know, at this point, we think the governor's going to sign it. I'm sure the lawsuits are already being written.
Yeah, and that's one thing that, you know, I've tried to look at, you know, when we did the heartbeat bill back in 2019, is we know that the lawsuits are going to come. We know that, you know, if we can look at the guidance that the courts have given us on other attempts, like I've said, in Arkansas and Texas, that were able to do this, they tied their defunding of Planned Parenthood to the former Project Veritas videos, not the recent ones, but the former videos where we saw, you know, aborted baby body parts being sold off and price tags given to, you know, babies' heads and arms and legs. So the court kind of gave a little bit of credibility to the legislature saying, yeah, this is not a qualified provider. And here we've got a laundry list of issues that Planned Parenthood has had, and now them breaching state law once again to send minors across state line has actually resulted in them getting sued by the Attorney General, Andrew Bailey.
Yeah. Nick Schroer, state senator, our guest right now. Let's talk a minute about local control here and versus state control for the city police. I know there was a hearing on this yesterday down in Jeff City. Is there some substitute language coming out on this bill that would like allow, I don't know, the police and the mayor to appoint people to the board instead of the governor?
So that's been an idea that was floated around. I'm not sure where that's going to go. There's one Democrat senator in particular that seems to be the voice of Tashara Jones, which is just, no, you're not touching police. There's no issue with crime. She said that in the Senate several times, but I don't know what the ultimate outcome is going to be. I've said on the Senate floor, I've said, you know, in news media that, look, this crime is an issue. It's literally killing people. It's infringing on people's property rights. The tourist destination that St. Louis once was is no more. And it's actually a spot that is said to be the most violent city in America year after year. We have tourists that are going to Drake concerts, going to volleyball games, getting mowed down by criminals that are breaching the law because this mayor and her administration has effectively defunded the police and defunded patrol. So I haven't seen that language, but, you know, it's not going to move forward if it's not going to actually help the situation, regardless of if it's the governor or the police chiefs or Mark Cox appointing the board.
Hey, let Mark Cox appoint. He wants to be on it. I want to ask Igel and everybody that's running
Ashcroft,
for governor if they would consider appointing me to the board once this we get to state control. I'm telling you, I think we
should be the Cox board.
There you go.
Oh, I like that.
Absolutely. I'll be president.
I have to ask you a quick question. I know this would be on the House side, but have you heard on whether they could actually be voting on IP reform this week?
That's what I've heard since Monday. So this going into this week, this is the last day that they have the opportunity to do so. And I'm hoping that they do, because that is a massive issue that if we don't address it, then we're going to continue to see Planned Parenthood, who's funneled in hundreds of thousands of dollars to try and put aborting your child up to the point of birth on the ballot into the Constitution. Individuals like George Soros and many other left-wing billionaires trying to change our Constitution. If we don't address that this year, you might as well grab your Missouri Constitution and rip it up and hand it over to left-wing lunatics.
Well, it's not just a matter of addressing it this year, Nick. It's going to be too late to impact what's going on in November, even if they passed it today, right?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, if we passed it in August, if this thing comes out and gets on the August ballot to say, okay, any of these issues that are going on the November ballot, they could be impacted by it. You know, the signature threshold and all of that, arguably, that's not going to be impacted. But the ultimate outcome and the goal of how much of the state you need actually could be impacted by it. So, if we get this thing done, it passes in August and it gets to the onto the November ballot.
So the people who support abortion trying to get signatures now, would they have the opportunity to go back out and get it from those congressional districts? Or like, how would that work?
It would just be the vote. It just deals with the percentage of vote out of the congressional districts, right?
Yeah, Mark, so you're correct. The final outcome on the percentages that you need in these congressional districts, that is what could be impacted if the voters actually approve of this. Well, number one, if we get it through the Senate, which I'm praying that we will. I don't know why we always wait till the last couple of weeks to actually do the substantive stuff. But if that gets on the August ballot and it passes, it could be impacting what ultimately happens in November.
Nick Shore, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you all. Yep. Have a great week.
We'll talk soon. I appreciate that. Yeah. Coming up next hour, we're going to switch back to the question of women and men participating in the same sporting events. These new Title IX regulations could lead to that. They're not specifically spelling that out yet, but they're changing Title IX. We're going to get Michelle Exner on here with Parents Defending Education and get her point of view at about 8:20. Stay tuned.
This is the most asinine, really, I would say the most anti-woman, anti-reality pursuit we have seen from this administration thus far. It is something that not only abolishes women's sports as we know it, this would allow men in women's locker rooms, bathrooms, changing spaces.
Yeah, Riley Gaines there on this ruling, basically, on Title IX and what it means and even the part they haven't even started to enforce yet, which is going to be men playing in women's sports. And that's what we're going to talk to Michelle Exner about coming up here at about 8:20 this morning. That's clearly ultimately their goal. And, you know, when I see people like Megan Rapinoe with her purple hair and all this coming out talking about it, Dawn Staley, the head coach of the national champion South Carolina basketball team, who herself was a basketball star. And, I mean, Dawn Staley is like 5'5". I mean, she's not a big woman. She would get destroyed on a men's basketball court. I don't understand the people that have played the game having this belief that the genders should compete against each other in sports. You know, tongue-in-cheek, it's like the comedian said last week in the bit that I played, if sex doesn't matter, why do we have a WNBA? Why do we have a women's soccer team?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have those? Well, Title IX made sure that women got an opportunity at the same sports in college that men did.
Yeah.
Because in many cases, the universities paid attention to the big sports that would make money for them, and they didn't spend money on things that were going to be a loser financially.
Yeah, I mean, why is it mostly 99.9% men who are wanting to play in women's sports? Because they're going to dominate. You don't have women claiming that they should be able to play in the NBA. In fact, I think about that, and I'm like, you know what? We should get a group of women to say they identify as men, go play for, try to play for the NBA, and then if you don't get played, you say that's sexist.
That's
you're just not playing. It's discriminatory. You're not playing me because I'm biologically a woman.
Yeah, it's like the Dallas
and bring
Mavericks
the team down.
Owner. I mean, yeah, Cuban. Is that
Mark
his name?
Mark Cuban. Yeah, yeah, he's very woke.
Oh, very woke. And somebody made a great point after he said something about not having a problem with this. That we're just waiting for his new DEI rules, where he has, you know, a midget Asian woman starting on his basketball team. I mean, that's not going to happen for a variety of reasons. Either you're too short or you can't shoot or you get rejected every time you try to put a ball up in the air.
Yep.
regardless, that's what they're going for. I also saw a little more coverage yesterday on this rule by the FTC, and we're going to try to, I'm trying to get somebody on here to talk more about this ban on non-compete agreements that Kim brought up yesterday. Supposedly, this Federal Trade Commission ruling would ban all non-compete employment agreements, which prohibit workers from switching to competing businesses or starting one of their own. It narrowly passed on a 3-2 vote Tuesday after 26,000 public comments. This is being done for one reason, for politics, and it's going to go to court and it's going to lose. This is not going, I don't think this is going to stand.
So
I don't
what
know
is
how they
it
can do it.
So I support this, but what is it about it? Because I know it'll be challenged legally, but what is it about it specifically that you think will lose in a legal battle?
I just think that businesses have to be able to control proprietary information to some extent. And that's what most of these non-competes are.
Which I understand that, but right? Why couldn't they create a separate document, a separate agreement that every employee has to sign, essentially saying they can't give up any sort of private information?
Well, but what they're arguing is that's still going to effectively stop you from going out and starting your own business or getting mad at your employer and saying, well, I'm just going to go work for your competitor across the street. The Chamber of Commerce has sued to block it. That's the headline here. And I my guess is this will be stayed until it might make it to the Supreme Court. I'm just not sure that, I mean, it's almost got it. I almost view it as being a state issue. I don't think it's something the federal government is going to be able to stick its nose in.
Yeah, because it doesn't take effect right away.
Right,
so they have time.
Right. Coming up, we're going to get to more on that Title IX stuff. Parents Defending Education has been ruling on it. Near the end of the hour, we'll talk to our friend Bo Matthews, a man with the greatest voice in radio. I can't even get my voice nearly as deep as Bo's. He's probably sitting in his thought tub this morning listening to us, getting ready for this interview. But Bo does such great work for first responders. You know how passionate I am about that. He's got an event coming up to support police, and we want to help him out. And if you love to play poker, Bo's got just the event for you. And it's all for charity, and we're going to get him on here about 8:45. Back in just a few minutes.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.